Just checking. Hold on. I'm here. Trump is at it again. I think all of you remember when he made that comment. It's really a vile, disgusting comment about a whole civilization will die, as if obviously he was going to wipe out, maybe with nukes, the entire 5,000-year history of the, you know, Iranian civilization as it is known now. But you just don't do that. Well, he's done it again. He did it again today. Trump has warned Iranian forces they will be, quote, blown off the face of the earth, end quote, if they target a single U.S. ship. Is this crazy? It just gets crazier. It's not quite the same as wiping a civilization out. We understand, but the Persian civilization goes back 5,000 years, and the point was clear that he was threatening to eliminate it, to erase it. Now he's talking about wiping Iranian forces, but he didn't say Iranian forces. He's just alluding to Iran. So blown off the face of the earth is the same sort of thing if they target U.S. ships. I have never been more ashamed of this country, I think, than I am now. And this country has done some pretty bad things in the past. Pretty bad. How about Vietnam, for one simple example? Completely a disgusting waste of human life. Big profits. And I think if anybody who's been following this understands the amount of military equipment, munitions, technology, and bodies that have been sent to the Iranian war theater in the last month, if you know anything about that, you know damn well that Trump is going to go in on the ground. Now he's mentioned he's got 15,000 troops. No, he's got 65,000. He could just pull from Europe as many more as he needs or wants, assuming he was calling the shots. Instead, we have another idiot, a moron, headset, hog's breath, as some people call him. Just embarrassing, shameful people. So, okay, there we are. I just saw this, and I had to pull it up. It's on a paywall site, so I found it. Trump warns Iranians they will be blown off the face of the earth if they target a U.S. ship. Wow. Can anybody go back to the Gulf of Tonkin issue with Vietnam, which was used as the jump-off point for the war, even though the event turned out to have never happened? An American ship was allegedly attacked. It was a fake. So anyway, I think it's quite within the realm of possibility. For example, if some of these escort destroyers that are supposedly going to be there and guarantee the safety of tankers and cargo ships to move through the Strait of Hormuz, if one of them were to be hit by a mine, those mines are awfully powerful. It could break the back of a ship and sink it in seconds. So I wouldn't rule out a false flag operation. If you want to think back at the Tonkin event, just fast forward to this one, where a ship really would be damaged or destroyed, and then the war is on. If they feel like they need a ship to be hit, they'll arrange it one way or the other. It's nuts. Mitchell Henderson is back with us tonight to give us his views on where we are right now. It's pretty obvious we're probably within 24 hours of going back to war. Again, once again. Hello, Mitchell. Welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Hello. I think it's inevitable that we're going to go back to war. I have no doubt about it. I just wanted to bring something up, though. You know, I was not just a military veteran. I was also a law enforcement veteran. So, you know, I've been to court a lot. I understand how the law works and everything. You know, we have President when the German high command and the German government was taken before the Nuremberg trials, they had to prove that they had a conspiracy or intent to actually commit war crimes and genocide. Okay, So a lot of times it'd come down to a single order or something, okay, that somebody issued, like the commissar order, you know, to kill all commissars that were captured and stuff. Things like this. It's, in other words, it's a smoking gun. Okay, well, you know, it just astounds me that here Trump, on his X page, openly to the whole world, announces his intention to commit genocide. The first time,
sir,
he said wipe their civilization out. Second time, to wipe them off the map. It's the same thing. Okay, so he's got repeated declarations of the intent to commit a genocide. Okay, and look at Fox, CNN, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, NBC. Where is the outrage? Look at our congressmen and our senators. Where is the outrage? Look at our Supreme Court. Where is the outrage? Oh, no, that is a crime against humanity. And our president's doing it. Everybody is calling him to account. Let me also say, you know, even Pope Leo did not call him to account for genocide.
Nope.
And he should have. That is his moral imperative to do such a thing. Okay. So what we have is, it is really disgusting, using our tax money to do this crime, and they've stated they're going to do the crime, and there's absolutely no opposition. Where are all the leftists out in the street posting Trump trying to commit a genocide? Where are they? Where is the outrage done anywhere? Nobody's saying anything about it.
That leaves us with what, Mitch? What does that leave us with? We are either a nation of cowards, a nation of stupid fools who can't figure out what war crimes are, or hypocrites who intentionally look the other way. And probably some other choices in there, too. So, yeah.
Well, we're the hypocrites. It's very hypocritical. I mean everybody with an IQ should be able to know that this meets the very definition of a genocide. So now all he has to do is commit an overt act towards genocide, and the crime is complete. Okay, so there's two parts to a crime. There's the intent, and then there's the action. Okay, and in the case of a conspiracy charge, all you require is not to complete the genocide, but to make a movement towards it. Okay, to attempt it is enough to make it the offense of genocide.
It's true.
Okay.
You're totally right. Are we not sitting, Mitch, let me just jump in here. Are we not sitting on the edge right now, and all we need is a little push to go over the edge back into war? That push is going to be either orchestrated or it'll happen on its own, but I wouldn't rule out a false flag operation at all. Look at Tonkin. You remember. All of you out there who were around remember.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to run destroyers, which are expendable, right through the strait, otherwise shepherding tankers or cargo container ships, whatever. And if we lose one of them, then that'll be used in showing sailors drowning and whatever, and the American people, kill them all, kill them all. You get it. You understand. Even if the American people don't say kill them all, by their silence, they allow. And who is outraged by what's going on over there? Beside us, but we don't have access to the mainstream arena. Simple.
No. Mm-hmm. Nope. And we have to pay for it. You're paying for it in your high gasoline prices. So let me tell people what's coming, okay? Because it's good to understand what's coming. So we've been at this war for 2 months. We're coming upon, once we've hit 90 days, we have basically hit the termination of all the current contracts and options on oil, on food, on hard durable goods, everything. We already those are all going to be expired at the end of 90 days. Okay, so in 90 days after the start of this war, that's when the inflation and the high prices that everything will hit us in stride. Okay. So Trump has to go to war with Iran. If he wants to live, he has to go to war with Iran. It's no more about getting elected again or winning the midterms. That is unimportant. What's important is that he attacks Iran for Israel. That is what counts.
Okay. Correct.
So I know he would like to be popular amongst the people, but being popular among the people is not what matters. What matters is that he attacks Iran. What matters is that he does what Israel tells him to do. That is
those are his orders. You bet.
That matters. Yeah, do not matter. Our livelihood, our peace, our prosperity, our lives, none of it means anything. Only one thing means something, and that's attacking and wiping Iran off the face of the earth. That is the only thing that matters. That will be done, okay? So something interesting happened today, okay, that kind of shows the Iranian mindset here a little bit, okay? So they're wanting to go for the jugular now, okay? They attacked the UAE oil terminal at Fujairah. Okay, this is significant because ships going to pick up oil at Fujairah do not have to go through the Strait of Hormuz.
No, that was their only viable option to avoid the Hormuz bottleneck.
It is their pipeline that goes south of Hormuz, okay? So what Iran did today, it says, nope, that's off limits too. You can't go there to pick up oil. We will bomb you or attack you if you go to that port. That is not a safe port. Okay, so now all they've got left, and I think it's probably inconsequential for Iran, but very consequential for Oman. Oman has not been like really against Iran in this thing. I mean, they have U.S. bases there. They're a GCC ally and everything, but their heart isn't in this war against Iran. And Iran recognizes that. So they have not been attacking Omani ports. And, uh-huh. and there, if you look at the Gulf of Oman, there's three, if you go south of Fujairah, there's three places there that have at least a natural gas pipeline coming from the UAE that they can unload natural gas. But it's not. It doesn't have enough volume to matter in the scheme of things. Like it's not enough to keep the UAE afloat. In other words, okay. So it's insignificant. Yeah. But with short range missiles, they can close those ports. Now, also on the Arabian Sea, on the south coast of Oman, there is one terminal there also, which with medium range missiles and they can take that out. And then finally, there's one in the Red Sea that Saudi Arabia built a pipeline across Saudi Arabia to the Red Sea just in case this happened. And the Yemenis can take that out. The Houthis can take that out. They can also just shut down the Suez Canal and the Red Sea again. Okay. See, everything's going to get worse and worse. Okay. So. As what matters to us, to the people, is that this is going to cause a worldwide depression. Dmitry Medvedev said that the Strait of Hormuz is Iran's nuclear weapon. If they shut that down, it's not just cutting off oil, it's cutting off fertilizer, it's cutting off phosphate rock, it's cutting off naphtha, which is used to make plastics and stuff like that. It is cutting off a lot, okay? And already the people in South Asia and Southeast Asia are suffering from this lack of fuel, okay? In Africa also, they're suffering. So what happens is as these fuel prices go up and up, which they will, another thing will happen is that all that was the basis of the petrodollar. The petrodollar will collapse. Okay, so we're talking about if we have half the printed money coming back to America because we're not using it for oil anymore, guess what inflation is going to be like? It's going to be hyperinflation. Okay, so as the prices go up, okay, which they're gonna go up not just from the paper money inflation, they're gonna go up because there's a shortage in everything. So in 90 days out, you'll start seeing that happening. Okay, as far as food, all that fertilizer that's not going out, this is food. This is by October, November. You know, that's when all these futures and options are played out by then, and there just won't be enough food. Right. There's just not going to be enough, okay? So as the prices go super high, okay, what's going to happen is, well, people will no longer have disposable income. So that means...
Oh, I think, Mitch, the argument can be made now. Excuse me, but I think you're right. And I think we can say that right now. Most people do not have discretionary income, not like they used to, and many will never have it again. I ran a story, it's up in headlines
never
now.
Never again.
Hundreds of thousands of homes are in foreclosure right now. You don't hear about that either, do you? No. I say within a year, it's going to be millions of homes into foreclosure. And these people are going to lose everything. They can't make their mortgage payments. They're going to lose everything. And this is just so despicable to watch this alleged government spending $1.5 trillion just on defense. Not a penny for American homeowners. Not a penny for Americans to eat. Not a penny to help the infrastructure from completely failing.
Well, listen to this. There's 120,000 veterans whose homes are up for foreclosure, and Trump ended program where the federal government helped veterans out keep their houses and stuff. He ended that. Okay.
See,
there's 120,000 homes belonging to veterans that are up for foreclosure right now. Okay. So as this. You got to understand that this is just going to snowball, okay? So
absolutely,
so it's going to be things.
No question.
It's going to be things like restaurants, nightclubs, cinemas. It's going to be entertainment and stuff. Now, the entertainment industry has kind of shielded itself a little bit from this by streaming everything, by people not needing hard copies. But at some point, even streaming services will be something people can't afford. Okay, they need that money for other stuff. All right, so those are the first things that come. That's going to be massive layoffs. Those people now will not have money. Okay, and then what happens next? What happens next is so they don't have money to buy anything. Okay, so there's no longer a solid consumer base. So there's it boils down to just everybody chasing the bare essentials, rice, beans, stuff like this. Then those things, they become so prohibitively expensive and stuff. And this just snowballs. We're talking about, they say in the news, they say a global depression. But, this thing will take on a life of its own. And we're talking about global financial and economic collapse, okay? People, not just in America, but you have to realize that today, we're seeing the beginnings of our suffering, but the masses in places like India and Indonesia, those people there now, they're suffering very bad right now. They're going hungry right now. They're not able to pay their rent right now.
True.
And what are they going to do about their, what kind of civil unrest will there be there? Listen, when the government can no longer take care of you, then the people will get the idea that, they don't really need you. Okay, but see, we have Palantir, and we have AI, and what the Trump administration is going to do is impose a police state like we have never imagined or seen before. Okay, we're talking about CBDC, complete surveillance.
You're
of
totally
everything.
Right. You're
okay.
Totally right.
We're
headed to hell here.
I want to give people a little bit of information on this front, because this is very important. Because see, the government and industry works on fear. Fear is the currency of control. So they want you to fear them But I think I need to tell people the way that law enforcement works so that they don't get too fearful. Okay, be cautious, be wary, but don't get overwhelmed with the fear. Okay, so let me just tell a little story because it illustrates it. So in Tampa, when I was in patrol division, it was a beautiful, beautiful spring day, sunny, bright. Everything was just one of those days that makes you feel happy, you know. So I'm driving around the projects and I see this Cadillac with these five black guys in it, and the music's blaring, and you can see smoke coming out of the window, and they're drinking beers and stuff. So I.
Your assignment was driving around the projects. Wow.
Yeah, okay. So I was working in the project, I'm in a patrol unit this time. So they bust the stop sign, so I pull them over. I asked the driver for a driver's license and ID, and I was not the type of person that messed with people. I would just, you know, be very professional. Oh, can I see driver's license and registration, insurance? Right. Ask very politely and stuff, you know. And call them sir, no matter if they're a dirtbag or not, I would call them sir, okay? And so I took it back, and I ran the tag, and the tag came back clean. The guy had no wants or warrants on him. In other words, they're you know, it looked like what I imagined they were some guys just out having a good time partying on a nice day, okay? I mean, I was a little jealous. I would like to be out partying myself on that day, you know? So I walked back up. And I told the guy, I says, okay, well, I can either give you a lecture or I can give you a ticket. It's your choice. What do you want? Now all the guys looked really bummed out. They thought they were on their way down to Central Booking. They were expecting backup to come any time, blah, 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 you know. And I know they expected that because that's what happens most of the time, John.
So the guy Mitch. Congratulations. I've never heard that line before. I can give you a lecture or a ticket. That's that's class.
So the guy said, well, can I have the lecture? And I said, certainly. And so I said, why do people get arrested and go to jail? And he said, and this is my point in this whole story, why do people get arrested and go to jail? And he says, oh, because they break the law. And I said, no, that is not true. Almost everybody breaks the law every day, all day long. You're always breaking laws. That's not why you go to jail. You go to jail because you attract attention to yourself. That's why you go to jail, because you attract attention to yourself. So
rules
you're driving around out here, you got good music going on, you got some good spliff, some good malt liquor. I mean, times are great, everything's wonderful. And then you bust a stop sign. And when you bust the stop sign, that attracts the attention of the police. And then you get pulled over, and then, you know, it all goes downhill from there. Next thing you're up on felony charges, and you got lots of bail to make, blah, 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 blah. I said, so all you got to do, if you're going to be out partying and having a good time, just obey the traffic laws. And the likelihood of you getting pulled over is much less, okay? Because lots of people are not going to mind if you're out having a good time. Okay, but they will mind if you're having a good time and you're busting stop signs and causing accidents and stuff, okay? So I said, that's it. That's the lecture. I just wanted to let you know, you know, this is how you stay out of jail, you know. Do not attract attention to yourself. He said, oh, okay, well, thank you, officer, you know, whatever. And I let him drive on. I think they were in shock that happened.
I would think.
They were expecting something very different. You know, but I sympathize with them. It was a beautiful day, and I didn't want to ruin their good time and stuff. I wanted to, you know, my job was to protect and serve. So
what
I wanted
an unusual
to protect
officer
them in
you
their
were,
pursuit
sir.
Of happiness.
Wow.
Okay, they were pursuing their happiness, and I wanted to protect them in that. You know, this illustrates how law enforcement works. The fact is, they can never ever, and they know that they cannot enforce the law. All they can do, and this is all they budget for this thing exactly, they budget for, giving the appearance that they are enforcing the law. Mm-hmm. That's all. In other words, they will pursue people who commit homicide because, well, that attracts attention, homicide, okay? But otherwise, you don't. Not only that, but I found this out when I first started working. I'd go to burglaries, and man, I'd be getting fingerprints, taking tool marks and stuff to gather evidence to catch the burglar, you know, and stuff. And they called me in the office and said, "Stop that stuff. Stop that shit right now." Says, "You go, you take a report, you get back in service and go take another report. Your job is not to solve crimes. Your job is to take reports." And I said, "Well, what about gathering evidence?" He said, "No, we're not interested in that. We're interested in how many reports you generate." He said, and this captain, he was very straightforward. He explained to me why. He said, "Listen, every year we get federal grants. The FBI gives us law enforcement grants based on how many burglaries, robberies, murders, rapes, et cetera, that we have. So the more burglary reports we have, the more money we get for the federal government." And he said, "The fact is that there's just a small group of people that do all these crimes. It's like in a city of 1 million people, you may have 50 robbers that rob everything all the time. You may have 100 burglars, okay? And if we start arresting them and put them in jail, how much money are we going to get from the FBI?" And he says, if we arrest these people, we have to pay the jail to house them. We have to pay for their trial. We have to pay for their imprisonment. This loses money for the city, okay? So to drive home his point, 1 year by this time I'm in the vice squad, but they said, "We need another, raise the taxes 1 cent, the sales taxes by 1 cent, because we have all these burglaries, all these murders, all these rapes, and we have to do something about that." So, of course, the people want to prevent those things from happening. Okay, so they passed the 1 cent sales tax increase. So then I noticed, because I was now in tactical division, so I noticed, well, not one more extra burglary detective, robbery detective, homicide detective, or sex crimes detective. Not one more. What did they do? They dedicated an entire squad to traffic. Well, what was the purpose of a traffic squad? Well, traffic, they like to enforce traffic because it doesn't cost them money, and it makes money for them, okay? They also came up with another narcotics squad because narcotics is a moneymaker. The police are in narcotics because that's where the money is, because they can seize the people's money. They can seize their product, their houses, their cars, and all that, and that goes into the city budget, okay? So these are moneymakers, so they will always arrest people for drugs. They will always arrest, give people traffic tickets because this doesn't really cost them money. It makes them money. And they can usually afford, off the drug dealer's money itself, they can afford to try the drug dealer and put her in prison. Okay. So this is the way the police work. Okay. So you got to look where you are and stuff like that. How much is it worth the trouble for them to come out there and get involved with what you do? Okay, it's like we knew that there was a lot of criminal activities going on here and there, but you know what? If those people just kept a low profile and kept to their own business and didn't make trouble for other people, well, the police would not go make trouble for them, because if they're, as long as nobody's complaining about them, then the police don't have to do anything about it. You see. So,
very good. This is the best lecture we could get. This is a real lecture. This is good.
So this is the way law enforcement works. Okay. So when you're thinking about, you know, what you're going to see first is you'll see people like Tucker Carlson, Megyn Kelly, and Candace Owen. They'll either kill them or they'll find charges to put them in jail. Preferably something embarrassing like child molestation or prostitution or something. Okay, they always want to make it a very embarrassing case. The NSA can put child porn on your computer. They can do that, and it'll look like you're the one who did it. Okay, so this is easy. There's a million ways they can take these people down. And they usually like to take them down in such a way that it's embarrassing to them, okay? So you'll see them first. Then the second wave will be people on the left that you expect to be talking negative, like, say, Anna Kasparian or Kim Iverson or Crystal Ball, you know, all these. They're sort of leftist, but they're not woke leftists, okay? They're leftist, but they make some good points. They're against the war, the genocide. They call it what it is and stuff. Those right. people will be the next people, okay? And then, so what it is it's akin to, like, it's akin to selling a book, Jeff. It's like, if you're Taylor Swift and you were to write a book about how to pick your nose, you'll make a few million dollars off of it. People just go buy it because of name recognition.
Well, and she won't even write it. AI will write it. Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, but if I write a book on how to pick your nose, yeah. I'm not going to have anybody buy it because I have very little or no name recognition, especially in the area.
Another word is fame.
For Taylor Swift, fame. It doesn't matter if she's an expert right. in it or not. Her name is going to sell her the book. So the targets, this goes back to attracting attention to yourself. The first targets will be the people that have the most name recognition. And the reason why is because since everybody knows about them, it's the best expenditure of their money to take them down. And it also advertises to everybody. It's what the Chinese called killing the chicken to scare the monkey. Okay. So when they take those people out.
I haven't heard that one before. All right.
That'll drive other people into silence. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, I would be forward looking now. I mean, if you're on social media and you're expressing your opinion, okay, you know, first of all, you have the benefit that most of us don't have a lot of name recognition, so that we're not going to be target number one. But these are stored forever. Okay. And I would advise you now to shut up on social media. Just stop talking on social media. Your opinion really doesn't matter that much to very many people. You know, you're realistically not swaying that many people. They have billion-dollar psychological warfare budgets. They've got Madison Avenue, the music industry, the entertainment industry. Oh, they have lots of money.
So
and
many
lots
ways
of
attacking.
Where they can sway people. But, you know, you and your voice on social media really isn't going to sway people very much. But at some point, it will make a target. So when they're looking for targets, the people that they're going to go after first, of course, would be people who are active in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you're no longer active on social media, then they will surmise that, oh, maybe something happened to you, and it's not worth the money and the effort to go after you. Okay. In my case, I'm not on social media because almost all of them have kicked me off. Okay, they've blacklisted me, canceled me. I was in Twitter jail so many times that they finally banned forever. You know, so. Because I just would say,
Twitter jail.
And back in the Biden administration, well, that was not tolerated. You cannot say what you want. You have to say what they want you to say. So, you know.
Got it. Hey, here, let's check. I got one more. Yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I have one more short video. It's a 90-second video I want to play here. This has to do with Trump running for a third term. All right, we have a constitution, whether the communists want to admit that or not, and the 22nd Amendment is quite clear. Now, this is a little hearing, a little clip from a hearing. Trump has appointed another judge, and this guy is getting cleared by some Senate committee before he's put on the bench. And now check this out. This is very interesting. You'll hear Senator Coons, C-O-O-N-S, talking to the appointee that Trump has appointed to become a judge. This is interesting.
Mark, if I might, just tell me about the 22nd Amendment. What does it provide?
Okay, that's the senator asking the judge nominated to be conferred what the 22nd Amendment is. I'll play it again.
Mr. Mark, if I might, just tell me about the 22nd Amendment. What does it provide?
The 22nd Amendment, Senator, my career has mostly been in criminal prosecution. I have.
He has no idea.
An opportunity to use that one specifically.
Anyone able to help him on the 22nd Amendment to the United States Constitution?
Anyone.
Well, Senator, I believe it is the amendment that deals with a two-term limitation on
correct.
The service
it
of the
states president. No person shall be elected to the office of the president more than twice. Mr. Mark, is President Trump eligible to run for president again in 2028?
Senator, without considering all the facts and looking at everything, depending on what the situation is, this to me strikes as more of a hypothetical of something that could
it's
be.
It's not raised. A hypothetical. Has President Trump been elected president twice?
President Trump has been certified the president of the United States two times.
Is he eligible to run for a third term under our Constitution?
I would have to review the
all I need to tell you is the language of the constitutional amendment that makes it clear that no, he is not eligible to run for a third term. Anybody else brave enough to say that the Constitution of the United States prevents President Trump from seeking a third term? Anybody willing to apply the Constitution by its plain language in the 22nd Amendment? Nobody.
Are we in trouble or what? There you go.
Well, let me just bring up another point, which a lot of people do not connect the dots, because see, connecting the dots is what they don't want you to ever do. So let me just phrase this as 1973, okay? Because these things happened in 1973. Okay, in 1973 was the last year that they. They actually stopped drafting people in 1973 for the Vietnam War. So 73 was the end of the draft. Okay, because the draft says you're going to go fight a war, you're going to possibly become maimed, crippled, or possibly die. Okay, this is your body, but it belongs to the federal government, and we're going to send it off to war. You're going to have to murder other people, and somebody may murder you. Okay. This is what the draft is all about. And only men can be drafted, okay? Well, the feminists and the Marxists and the people in the court, they understood that in order to legalize abortion, they were going to have to end the draft, because the argument that it's a woman's body and she has a right to do with it what she wants. How is that going to hold if men can be drafted and sent to war where they're going to be killed, maimed, or have to do terrible things to other people? Okay. So you see, what you've got is conflicting immoralities. Now, me personally, I'm not trying to impose this thought on anybody else, but I always try to be very clear in what I'm doing. When I went in the Army, I did not think that it was justified to murder other people. I didn't think the government had the ability to give you a pass on the crime of murder, okay? So when I went off to war, and I had to either go to war or go to prison for 5 years, when I went off to war, I understood that I might have to murder people, and I called it that. I did not try to deceive myself into thinking that somehow it was justified or it was right, okay? It is a little bit more right for me, because I have people actually shooting at me, and I've got to defend myself. But for the people sitting in Washington, D.C. and in the halls of Congress, they have no defense whatsoever. And to them, it was not self-defense. Okay, so what we have is we want to bring another thing on where women are allowed to kill their babies. And another thing that's a question of murder, of homicide. Okay, they are both involved in homicide. And if we're going to allow men to go kill other people, okay, we have to let women kill their babies. But we're going to, if we're going to do it on the basis that it's her body and she can do with it what she wants, we've got to end the draft because we're making men telling them what to do with their bodies when they, many men definitely don't want to do that. Okay, so you have to see that this hypocrisy is old, and it's always there in our government. I mean, you can see now, if you've been around for I've been around for the past 72 years, I've noticed that we always have these debates on gun control and abortion. Okay, well, they can't get rid of guns because it's constitutional right, but they act like it's not because they just pass laws against it all the time. They constantly infringe on the Second Amendment. Constantly they do it. And they act like, oh, well, telling you can't buy assault weapons, that is not infringing. Yes, that is exactly infringing, okay? But at the same time, there is nothing in the Constitution that says that you have a right to commit homicide on your baby. Nothing gives you the right to do that. This is supposed to be under the right of privacy, okay? So we can commit murder for the sake of privacy. Listen, if you're looking for reason, logic, and morality in what the government does, you are looking in all the wrong places, okay? They have no logic. They have no morality. It's just not there, okay? So not everybody's going to agree with me on my thought process, but you can see that there was a political reason to stop the draft so that they could legalize abortion, okay? One way or the other, people are going to die, okay? So that's what our government is about. You know? That's what all governments are about.
Well, that pretty well sums it up. I don't know where else the draft is being forced on the public. It certainly is in Ukraine, and they are drafting women now. They're kidnapping people, men off the streets. They're going into gymnasiums and kidnapping people in the gyms. It's Zelensky. He's killing Christians. This is a Christian Holocaust over here. 2 million dead.
Right.
No question. There's no other way to look at it.
Yeah.
Other way. So, by the way, here, this December, all men will be autumn of draft age, what is it, 18 to 25 or whatever, will be automatically registered this December. 26. All right. They'll be automatically registered this December. They won't have to sign up. They're going to be automatically registered for the draft. So just keep that in mind.
It's because
everybody's
had problems on the
here.
Database so much that why make them go through the trouble of going down and registering when they already know who you are, okay?
But that's right.
I think there'll be a problem because, you know, the feminists, their hypocrisy will show when they don't raise their voices up and demand that women be drafted also. They should be demanding it, you know. If they had any integrity, any honesty at all, they should demand it, but they won't, okay? Because it's not about justice, it's not about fairness.
No.
And this is another thing I'm trying to get through to people is, first of all, enforcement of the law is just a show, okay? And ultimately, if you're expecting fairness and justice and reason for them, it's not there. It is never there, okay? If they want you, they can get you, okay? That's why you shouldn't challenge them. Oh, you can't do this to me. Well, yes, you can. I remember when I was working Vice, one time I went up and there was a pimp with his hooker. I knew the hooker. I knew who she was and everything. So what I did is, her name was Bunny Henderson. I can name her. I can remember her name. She's not related.
Bunny?
Yeah.
Okay, Bunny Henderson.
Yeah.
All right.
No relation. But anyway,
I used to have a girlfriend named Bunny. Do you know that? You didn't know
that.
Oh,
did you?
I did.
No, I didn't.
Bunny.
Yeah.
Yeah. No further comment. Okay.
So anyways, I asked the pimp for ID, okay? And so he pulled his wallet out, and when he pulled his ID card out, his Florida driver's license, another Florida driver's license fell out of his wallet and hit the floor, right, the ground. So I picked it up, and it had a picture of Bunny Henderson in it, but it had another name on it, a fake name on it, okay? So, he had told, just before this, he had told me, you can't arrest me for nothing. There's nothing you can do to me. He said that. And then so I says, well, let me see your identification. That card fell out. I picked it up. I says, oh, Bunny, this is you, but this is not your name. I said, this is a false ID card, a false Florida driver's license. And it is a felony to be in possession of a false Florida driver's license. And the pimp said, yeah, well, that's hers. It's not mine. I said, but she was not in possession of it. You were. So you're under arrest for the fake Florida driver's license and stuff. Okay, so anytime somebody challenged me, like, oh, you can't arrest me and stuff, I always had them under arrest, usually for a felony, within 5 minutes. And people said, how can you do that? You're always breaking the law. You're always breaking the law. You don't know all the laws. The United States passes so many laws that you can't possibly know them. And you're always in violation of something. And see, that's how they can come and get you anytime they want to get you.
We don't have a chance.
You'll always be in violation.
The deck is more than stacked against us. I mean, it's ridiculous.
So the best thing to do is not attract attention to yourself. Also,
that's really great advice. It's very simple. Keep a low profile. Follow the rules. Yeah. Stay the hell out of the way. All right.
If you very can good. Be seen, you can be hit. This is what every infantryman knows. If you can be seen, you can be hit. That applies all through life.
That transposes perfectly. So, I get it. Yeah.
So all this is coming. There isn't. Nothing's going to get better. There isn't going to be any improvement. Nothing's going to get better. It's just going to get worse and worse. And worse, okay. A lot of the first things, like I said, the first things to go will be all your luxury goods and entertainment. Like your Walmart grocery store will stay open, but like your Whole Foods or your Sprouts and stuff with more expensive food, those stores are going to be gone. Okay.
Healthy lifestyle will be very difficult. You're right.
Yeah, it'll be very expensive, very too expensive for anybody to actually do. So anything like the boutique shops, all these little shops that we go to for fun, like women going to the beauty shop or nail salon, those are all going to collapse. All those masses of people will be out of work, okay? And they're not going to have any disposable income, and yet everything's going to still get more expensive and stuff. So you have a little window here. Go get yourself rice and beans and stuff like that. There's some things that are going to become very difficult to get, but yet people are still going to want them. That'll be like liquor, tobacco products, luxury, like items like that, coffee and stuff. All these things will become very hard to get and stuff. So if you can stock up and now, at least you have a trade item because somebody will want it. Now, when I do the research, it says that bars will close. Well, I beg to differ with that. Now, your high-end bars will close, but I spent 20 years
no,
overseas.
No, they
got to
keep the rank and file anesthetized.
And stuff.
Yeah.
And when there's inflation and there's economic collapse, actually more people go to bars.
Yeah.
A bar is a rather inflation-proof business.
It's true.
Okay.
All right, Mitch, we got to go for the computer. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much for the update. We'll watch it. You take care. I'm expecting this thing to blow again big time, but probably by tomorrow. We'll find out. Thank you, Mitch. Great job.
Okay, you're welcome, right. And remind people to get my book, The Final Wars, How to Survive the Coming Civil War, World War III and the Collapse of Civilization, available at Amazon. Okay, good advice.
Indispensable. I agree. Thank you, Mitch. Take care. All right, and we'll be right back. Hang on.